It's one of my favorite Thanksgiving stories that I've heard through the years, and I've shared it. A 65-year-old dad who lived in Phoenix, Arizona, calls his son. Son lives in New York City. And the conversation begins like this: "Son, I hate to ruin your day, but you need to know that your mom and I are going to get a divorce." The son drops his iPhone. He picks it up. He says, "What? That's right. Your mom and I, we're divorcing. She's sick of me. I'm really sick of her. We're sick of each other. We've been sick long enough. Divorce is going to happen. And would you call your sister and tell her? You know, your sister in Chicago. Call her. Tell her. Thank you." Hangs up. The son dials his sister and says, "I've just had the craziest conversation with Dad. He says that he and Mom are getting a divorce." She drops her phone. She picks up her phone. She said, "What did you say? Dad just called and told me he and Mom are getting a divorce for me to call you." And she said, "Don't you do a thing. You get ready. Tomorrow we're going home." She picks up the phone and calls her dad and says, "Dad, you are not getting a divorce. You are not getting a divorce. Don't you do a thing. We'll be there tomorrow. Don't do a thing." And she hangs up. The dad turns to his wife, does a little happy dance, and says, "Great news, honey. Both kids are coming home for Thanksgiving, and they're paying their own way." That never made much sense until your kids grow up, and they're coming home, and they're paying their way. I've yet to see that, but that part, we're hanging on to. I love this week. You know, Easter Sunday, Christmas Eve, that our carols, candles, and communion, that service at 5:30. And this Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, my three favorite days of worship. How many of us this morning would on purpose choose to sit down in a chair filled with thorns? That's the description that 17th century pastor named Jeremy Taylor gave to a person whom, having cause for thankfulness and thanksgiving, chooses instead to offer complaints. Now, Reverend Taylor, in this 16th century, had just had his home plundered. All of his worldly blessings were brought to nothing. His family was driven out of the community. He had every reason to be bitter and angry and depressed. But listen to what he wrote. "What now? Let me look about. They've left me the sun and the moon, a loving wife, and many friends to pity me and some to relieve me. They have not taken away my merry countenance or my cheerful spirit or a good conscience. They have still left me with the providence of God, all the promises of the gospel, my faith, and my hopes of heaven. Still I sleep and digest. I eat and I drink. I read and I meditate. And he who has so many causes of joy is very much in love with sorrow and peevishness, who leaves all these pleasures and chooses to sit down on his handful of thorns." Whew. If we could but capture the spirit of Reverend Jeremy Taylor today. I think the Apostle Paul had that spirit as he wrote to the church at Ephesus. Our text, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. You familiar with the text? "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit," Paul wrote. "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. we have so much to be thankful for. Like Paul, our mantra should be always giving thanks to God. Always giving thanks to God the Father. Always giving thanks to God the Father in everything. Always giving thanks to God the Father in everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much for which to be thankful, and yet we do spend countless moments, hours, sometimes days, counting our frustrations rather than counting our blessings. We complain of the things we don't have instead of simply being grateful for the abundance that we do have. Now hear me, I know there are problems in our world. I know there are, in this very sanctuary congregation this morning, heartaches and difficulties, trials and tribulation. But hasn't that always been the story as we this fall have read through the book of Ecclesiastes? The more things change, the more things stay the same. Yesterday, today, forever. I think back in Scripture, Job, that Old Testament story, we're not exactly sure what to do with it. He lost it all. He lost his family. Think about it. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost all of his material goods. He lost his friends. Well, he didn't lose a lot there. They weren't very good friends, but he still lost them. And at the end of it all, he says, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Apostle Paul, whose words we just read to this church at Ephesus, Paul, who had that dramatic conversion moment with God through Christ, who said, "I am here, God. I will be your vessel. I will be your instrument. Use me. Send me." And his only goal in life was to preach grace and love and new life in Christ. And what did he experience? He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was left on the city streets. They hoped and thought he was dead. And then he had to pastor a bunch of crazy, crazy churches with crazy people. And yet he wrote, "Thanks be to God in everything, in the name of our Lord." I mentioned the pastor, Jeremy Taylor, who lost so much. But there's another pastor, Martin Rinkert. The year was 1636. The entire village that Rinkert pastored had been destroyed by the plague. In this one village and surrounding area, nearly 8,000 people died that one year, 1636. Many of them in his congregation, the whole congregation decimated. He lost his wife to death of the plague. He lost three of his children in the plague. He did funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral. His heart was heavy? Oh, yes. And he wrote these words, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom this world rejoices. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Now thank we all our God." The postlude this morning that Paulina will play, that very song, "Now thank we all our God." Now hear me again, single adult, senior adult, teenager, parent, there are heartaches and pains in our presence. Something about the holidays, those sorrows rise to the top. It's not the same as last year or 3 years or 5 years, there will be an empty place or places around the table. And maybe it's even the thought that beyond Thanksgiving, it won't get much better, because then comes Christmas. Some today have lost jobs that they thought would always be there, and others are in jobs that they think and hope will just go away. Burdens seem heavy during the holidays. And in the midst of it, all we see are thorns. A chair full of thorns, and thorns are real. That hurt, that heartache, that depression in the spirit, in the midst of pain and suffering. And it's Thanksgiving. But wasn't Paul right that somehow, without denying the realities of reality, somehow we still can give thanks to God in everything. This past Wednesday, I was with Walker and several of you from our church at our adopted school, Hurdy Primary School. It's a wonderful campus. Each time I'm there, I fall more in love with those precious children, those educators, that principal and teachers. What a great campus and a great partnership we're developing with them. On Wednesday, it was their Thanksgiving Children Parent Day, and moms and dads and even some grandparents came and got to experience Thanksgiving cafeteria school with their cafeteria lunch with their kids. And the kids were so excited. When I was there, it was just the real younger ones, the kindergarten, first grade, maybe second grade. They were so excited. Mom or dad or grandma or grandfather had come to eat lunch with them. And the children had made headbands with crayon-colored feathers on each band. I think the older kids came with their pilgrim hats that they had made. But when I was there, all the kids had on headbands, and we had given crayons to many of those students. And some of the feathers were bright blue and green and pink and multicolor, and some of them need to go back to coloring school because they were really badly colored. But on the headband with the five feathers stuck up front, around the headband, a teacher had printed, "I'm thankful for ... The kids colored the feathers, glued them, and then they wrote what they were thankful for, like our children just did. And they were very similar. "I'm thankful for my dog." I saw that a lot on the feathers. "I'm thankful for my dog. I'm thankful for toys. I'm thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful," no one said for school, but I didn't read all the feathers, but they were thankful. I wonder what your feathered headband would include this morning. "I'm thankful for God's faithfulness." We've sung it. But it's more than just a song, and it's more than a song that the bells would play. "Great is thy faithfulness." When I am faithless, when I am so filled with a lack of faith, God is always faithful. "I'm thankful for forgiveness provided through Jesus Christ. Though our sins are as scarlet, through Christ they're washed white as snow. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us." Not because we deserve forgiveness, not because we can earn His forgiveness, but because Jesus Christ paid the price for our forgiveness. I thank God for forgiveness in Christ. "I'm thankful for the fullness of life provided by God through the presence of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that lives in us." God didn't just leave us alone and say, "Figure it out." He gave us Christ and gave us that Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and even intercedes for us when we don't have words to go to the Father. "For fullness of life through the Spirit, I give thanks." Yes, as the children said, "For family and friends." I know we're supposed to say that, But isn't it true how lonely life would be without family and friends? Family and friends, oh, thanks be to God. And yes, I'm thankful, and I would have a feather on my headband that said, thankful for the future. For the future that God has. There are times I stress about the future of the world, the future of the nation, the future of the church. But in the midst of it all, I have faith in God. He hasn't brought us this far to drop us. He's got this. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place in the future for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you can be also. I thank God, Paul said. I thank God always in everything. I thank God for His faithfulness, His forgiveness, the fullness of life for family and friends and future. And tonight, I want you to come. We're not going to make you wear headbands or color feathers. I want you to think this afternoon, what feathers of thanks would be on your headband? It is right for us. It is right for us to publicly be ready to simply stand and say in the presence of others, I am thankful for. Hope you'll join us, 5:15. Thankful for food. Thankful for church family. Thankful for an opportunity to gather and share words of thanks. And after we share, to be able to have communion in the presence of our church family, communion as believers in Christ, remembering that great sacrificial gift of Jesus. Oh, tonight, don't miss it. Thanksgiving 2018. As we leave worship this morning, I wonder, will this be another year where we choose to sit on a chair full of thorns? Will Thanksgiving 2018 come and go as we rush forward to Christmas? Will we spend more time complaining about our world, complaining about our community, our society, our church, our family? Will the thorns of negativity and pessimism, will that be our testimony? Or will we lift our voices and proclaim always giving thanks to God the Father in everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's your choice. Thorns or thanks? Shall we pray? The thorns of life are real, oh God. In this room, we know there are thorns in our presence. Pain and hurt and crisis and emptiness and sorrow. But we are so blessed with your presence, with friends and family, in your faithfulness, the fullness of your Spirit, in the future with you. Oh God, let us not count our frustrations. Let us count our blessings. We give thanks. We give thanks. We want to be a people that give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks. If we as believers in Christ, if we cannot set the example, if we cannot show those around us how thankful we are, what chance do they have to know? May they see Christ in us, and we see you in all as we give thanks. This I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing.